Before we get there, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, because I think you need to understand why the Lord Jesus performed the miracles that he performed. Now, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read it again. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I hope you understand the order that he put there. He didn't say to teach and to do, but to do and to teach. Now, to do deals with the miracles that he performed, and doing was a confirmation of his teaching, and his teaching was an explanation of his doing. Make sure we understand something. Doing gave credibility to his teaching. And may that be true in our own lives. You know, we want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? But we need to be a miracle ourselves. We need to be a miracle of the grace of God, what God can do and change our lives. And when we act and do and look like everybody else, we don't look like the miracle we need to be. And if we're not the miracle that we need to be to others, they are not going to listen to what we have to say. Now, with that background in mind, I want you to turn to the book of John's Gospel, to the left there, chapter 4. And in doing so, we're going to look here at verses 46 through verse 54. I'm going to title this, Having a Faith That Works. Let me say it to you again, Having a Faith That Works. Father, I pray that we'll take a look at our faith this morning. Is it a faith that works? In Christ's name, may it be said, amen. In this particular chapter, in verses 46 to verse 54, I want to talk about, first of all, the pursuit of faith. I hope you're pursuing faith. Secondly, I want you to know this of the power of faith. Faith has a tremendous power. And then thirdly, the proclamation of our faith. Now notice first of all with me the pursuit of faith. When I look over there in chapter 4, verse 46, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now underline that nobleman. Now, what does that word nobleman mean? It means the king's man. That's what it means. In other words, he was the king's man. He was one who served the king. I want to tell you something today. Men, we need to be the king's men. Ladies, you need to be the king's women. You need to be recognized who you are. In a sense of the word, we are noblemen because we are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. Now, I want you to notice how important that is, because we come over here, and when verse 47, it says, and when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah and to Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. Now think with me for a moment, two or three thoughts about that. I want you to notice, if you will, please, I want you to notice here the object of faith. You know, I hear a lot about faith. But what do you put your faith into? That's the real key. It's amazing to me how many put faith in people, put faith in things, put faith in their job. I've got news for you. There is nothing in this world that you can put your faith in that's going to last. It's going to satisfy, except the Lord. When I come over here to Isaiah 55, in verse 6, we find these words, seek ye who? The Lord. He is the object of our faith. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. You will not make it in this life, my friend, if Jesus Christ is not the object of your faith. But he must not only be the object of our faith, and when he heard, he had a problem. And I want you to know, whatever problem you may have today, Jesus Christ can answer that problem. He can solve that problem, but you need to put your faith in him. He must be the object of our faith. And yet I only sense here the object of faith, but I see the obstacles of faith. The moment that you want to exercise faith, I got news for you, there's some obstacles you're going to face. And I want you to notice these obstacles of faith and how you need to do. Notice here, first of all, I want you to notice the persistence of this nobleman, because I want you to notice something here, if you will, please, in verse 47. Let's read it again. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea to Galilee, he went him and besought him. Now underline that word besought, because here I see persistence. You know, there are obstacles, and if you are not, one of the obstacles we have here is our not persistent. You know, people say, I want God to do a great thing in my life, and we're not persistent about praying. We're not persistent about asking. He knew, he said, the Bible said he was persistent. He besought. That word in the Greek is a continuous action. He didn't just go say, hey, Jesus, why don't you come with me? I mean, he poured out his heart into the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. We need to pour out our heart into Jesus Christ with our issues, with our problems, with our testings, with what's going on in our life. And he besought him. It is a tense of the verb, which means continuous asking. Someone said it well when he said, seek him, and when you find him, continue to seek him, and can seek him continually. Let me give that to you again. Seek him when you find him, until you find him. I'll try it again. Seek him when you find him, continue to seek him, and seek him, continue. Don't ever give up seeking him. You say, I found him. When you find, seek him some more. Seek him some more, you know, because he is there to give you as much faith as you need and just fill your life with faith. But you need to understand, you need to be persistent. If you're not persistent, you'll not have that faith that you need. Notice not only here that the persistence of his faith, no obstacle, a lot of people are just not persistent. He's going to seek Jesus. He had to continue to go after him. And secondly, notice the problem of unbelief. The problem of unbelief. You find that in verse 48 here. Then said Jesus unto him, except you, watch it, you what? When you underline that little three-letter word there, see. Except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. You don't have faith. Now that's a very important three-letter word that should not be in there. If you seek signs and wonders, I have to have you for a moment go over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Would you go there to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a moment, please? And in doing that is the hero hall of faith. As he gives all those folks who had faith. But I draw your attention to verse 1. And there are three things about faith that if you don't have the problems of unbelief. Here's the kind of faith you need. I want you to notice three things in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Now, I see three things in that verse. First of all, about faith. Now, I see now faith. Notice he said now faith. You know, listen, your faith yesterday isn't going to do you any good today. You need faith for the day. Amen? This is a new day. This is a day the Lord has made. Now faith. Oftentimes, I've heard in my 44 years in the ministry, I find people tell about what great things God did for him yesterday and the day before and the month before and the year before that. What is God doing for you today? We need now faith. We not only notice here now faith, that the need of faith. I want you to notice that word. Faith is the substance. Now that word substance means confidence. Confidence. You have confidence in him this morning? You have confidence he's going to take care of you? Whatever you're going through, do you have confidence in him today? We don't need to just now faith. We need to understand the need of faith. Confidence in him. I've said it before. There's very few things in this world you can put any confidence in. I told someone just recently, I might have said it from this pulpit, the America that I knew 5 years ago, pardon my grammar, ain't existing anymore. It's over with. This is not the America I used to know. But you know, I cannot put my faith in America. I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ. and I need confidence, and I have confidence in him. I not only see now faith, the need of faith, but the nature of faith there, because he says, for the evidence. That word evidence is a strong word. It means convictions. If you have faith that doesn't bring about convictions, there's something wrong with your faith. I mean to have convictions, to believe that God is going to do what he promises to do. And God will do it. And so we see the problem of unbelief. See signs in one. People said, I've got to see it to believe it. No, you don't. You got to believe it because you don't see it. That's the Christian life. You believe it because you haven't seen it, because you have that confidence and you have that conviction that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. That's the problem. And I will say to now the problem, go back to our text there in John chapter 4. And notice what he says. Jesus said to him, verse 48, then said Jesus to him, except you see what? Signs and wonders. They got to see it to believe it. You know, that's what took place over there in chapter 6 of the same book, Gospel of John. Jesus gave them some hard things to believe in. Did you know that? Look over there in chapter 6 for just a moment over there. Chapter 6. You remember that about when he fed the 5,000 with bread, and then he applied that to himself because he is the object of our faith. In verse 6, he said, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The things he gave them that day were hard things to understand. Now listen to me. It is best to look at our circumstances through the eyes of faith than to look at God through our circumstances. Let me say it to you again. It is best to look at our circumstances through the eyes of faith than to look at God through the eyes of circumstances. You know, a lot of people today are looking at God through the eyes of circumstances. See, well, you don't know what I'm going through. God does. But if you look at God through the eyes of your circumstances, I got news for you, and I say it reverently, God does not look very good. But if you look at God through the eyes of faith, you know God's going to take care of it. But when I come over here to chapter 6, they said, these things you've told us are hard. You all know what 666 means, don't you? The number of the Antichrist, I think it's the number of unbelief. In chapter 6, verse 66, look at it. Chapter 6, verse 66, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. 666. It is the number of unbelief for what God's going to do for just today. Don't be a 666 Christian. Don't be that. You know why a lot of Christians are not in church today? They used to be in church. They went backwards in their Christian life because they didn't believe God was going to take care of the problem. So when I come over here, I see the obstacles of faith not being persistent. Notice the problems of unbelief. But thirdly, another obstacle deals with the perspiration of faith. Perspiration? You mean there's perspiration in faith? Yeah, there is. Well, what do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked me. Go back to verse 46. Then Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now listen to me. The distance between Capernaum and Cana is about 20 miles. I'm a walker. When I get home, I like to walk. And when I'm at home, that's a big distance. You know, if you're going to get from one place to another and you're going to walk, that's going to take some time. Amen? That's going to take what? Perspiration. I want to tell you something. Perspiration takes effort. I mean, faith takes effort, excuse me. You're going to do some holy sweat. When I'm home, I like to walk. I'll walk about almost 5 miles in the morning. And that takes me about an hour and a half to do that. And when I get home, I got news for you. In this hot summer, I'm doing what? I'm doing what? Perspiring. When I go in the house, I walk up to Marilyn. I said, honey, give me a hug. She said, you got to be kidding. you stinketh, you all wet. There's a distance. Going to take some perspiration to believe that God's going to do so. I mean, God's going to take care of the problem. Amen? But he wanted here, and let's look at the verse again in verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, and when he made the water into wine, and there was a nobleman whose son was sick, when he heard that Jesus come out of Judea, verse 47, he went unto him. He didn't just sit there, and what did he do? He put some sweat into it. Took him about 20 miles to get to Jesus. You know, our problem is we want everything instant. We're so used to having everything instant. I got a kick out of my Pohnpeian wonderful friends that were in our home for a few days. I don't think you ever saw a dishwasher. Did you ever see a dishwasher? I mean, they just took a look at that thing. I mean, just everything is instant today. Rickson was telling me I gave him some quarters yesterday so they could do some laundry. And Rickson said what they need to do is just find a river, take the clothes down there, and beat them out and clean them in the river. That's what they're used to doing. Well, we laugh at that. I don't think it. But I'll tell you this. It takes some effort to do things in our faith. They're going to cause our faith to grow. But we want everything instant. We just want to sit down and want God to do it for us. You know, we live in a welfare country. But Christians do not have a welfare mentality. You need to go after your faith. You need to do something to make it grow and make it deep and make it, you know, I hear people all the time say, well, I just don't feel like going to church. Brother, how many of you don't feel like going to work? You don't go, you get fired. I'd rather go to church and get fired up because I need my faith to be encouraged in the things of God. Now, we see here, not only do we see here the pursuit of faith, that object, our Lord Jesus Christ, we've noticed the obstacles of faith. Thirdly, in this pursuit, notice the obedience to faith. Now notice something here. This is very interesting. Look there in verse 49. Then the nobleman said unto him, Sir, by the way, underline that word, sir. It's the word for the word Lord, L-O-R-D. He's Lord. He is Lord of Lord and King of Kings. And the noble, notice there in verse 46, then said, verse 49, a noble said unto him, Sir, come down, my child die. Now I want to tell you something. And the Lord and the noble said, Sir, come down to my child. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Now listen to me. Sometimes we want to try to get God to do what we want him to do. He said, Jesus, you need to come down to my son. Jesus has said, Go your way, your son liveth. Now listen to me. Faith requires obedience. Obedience. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, your son liveth. Don't try to reason out faith. Don't try to reason out when God tells you to do something. He's saying, Listen, Lord, you don't understand. My son's not going to live unless you come down. Jesus said, quite blank, he just, by the absence of what, of he just said, I'm not coming down. You do go down, your son liveth. Sometimes we try to reason out our problems and we want God to work them out our way. We got to do it God's way. Sometimes it's not reasonable. I'll be honest with you. I hope I have this relationship with a God that I can say this to him at times. I said, God, that does not sound reasonable. How many beside me had ever thought that? That just doesn't sound reasonable. God said, I didn't ask, didn't tell you it sounds reasonable. I just told you, do it. And I'm to go like this. Okay, I'm going to do it. Doesn't make sense to me. How many times God has done something in your life that didn't make sense? Just didn't make sense. That's God. I think God does that for reasons I don't fully understand, but to let me know He's Lord. Sir, You're Lord. Doesn't make sense. You told me to do it. I'll do it. Now notice, secondly, not only do I see this pursuit of faith, the obstacles we face, the object of our faith, and certainly obedience, whatever God says, even though it doesn't sound reasonable. So we have college students here today. We have parents who are going to help pay their way. Listen, I can remember when I was in college, married, had a faith. There was too much month at the end of the paycheck. How many have ever been there? But you know what? We made it through. You know why? Because it's unreasonable to have too much month at the end of the paycheck left over. But God takes care of it. Because God is Sir. He is in charge. And in spite of the feelings within and the circumstances around us, let's just obey. I don't feel like, Lord, that's the way. But in spite of the feelings within us and the circumstances around us, if God says do it this way, do it. But I see, you know, that's 2 points. I don't take as long in, but I see the power of faith. The power of faith. The power of faith is seen, first of all, in the immensity of His presence. The immensity of His presence. Look there in verse 49. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. If you don't come down, my child is going to die. They left out the immensity of His presence. I like John chapter 3. Turn there with me. You're in John. Just go back a couple chapters and look there at verse 13. And no man, here's a great verse, no man had ascended up no man ascended up to heaven, but He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who's where? That's the immensity of His presence. If you think the ocean is immense, just think about the immensity of the presence of God. Now, I want to tell you something today. He is omnipresent. And I want you to know something. The same Jesus was on this earth 2,000 years ago, is on this earth today through the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's here. I not only see the immensity of His presence, but I see the instructions given. Look at verse 50. Go back there to our chapter and look at verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Now listen to me. I want you to listen. I want you to get this. You do exactly what everything the preacher tells you to do, as long as the preacher is the Holy Ghost. And He is the preacher within. He said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, I didn't mean man. I used to hear what I said. The Holy Ghost is the preacher that lives within you and you and you and you and me and everyone else who's saved. I want to say this to you reverently. He's the preacher. He gives instructions that sometimes don't make sense to us. He said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. I'm thankful for the preacher that lives within me. Somebody said, Pastor, you've been pastoring for 44 years and you've not had a preacher. Yes, I've had a preacher, and I don't need Marilyn. Although she's a good one. Don't put that on the tape. But I mean the Blessed Spirit. And He will just tell you things to do. He said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. So we see here in the power of faith, seen in the immensity of His person, God is here and can do, and the instructions of our preacher, and the infinity of His person, thy son liveth. I like that, don't you? God can do anything. He's God. You know, now and then I'll get somebody about a year ago came up to me at Northside and they said, you know, I just need a miracle in my I haven't seen any miracles. He said, you can't have a miracle without a problem. The nobleman's son had a miracle in his life. You can't have a miracle without a problem. You know, we focus on the miracle, but we don't want the problem. Wasn't that great when the three Hebrew children came out of that fiery furnace? How many would like to have been one of those three? As long as I can go out, I just don't want to go in. Pardon me, you can't get out unless you go in. And God will bring problems into your life to bring you into the furnace so that you can get out of the furnace and you can have a miracle in your life. Because of the infinity, he's infinite. Thy son liveth. He'll bring, you know, one of the things I pray for when I'm going through some things in my life, Lord, bring life to my problem. Bring life to it. Let me see the life of God through it all. Then I get Baptocostical. I get excited. The other day I was listening to some tapes that I, DVDs, whatever you call them, I'm whatever that stuff is. I don't know what it'll be tomorrow. I know what it is today, but I don't know what they'll call it tomorrow. I was in my room, and I got so excited. I'm lifting my hands up. I'm praising the Lord. I say, God, this is what I need. You know why? Because the infinity of his person. He's so infinite. And he reached down, and he just touched me all the way from heaven through the preacher of the Holy Ghost. Finally, I only see the pursuit of faith where we deal with the object, the obstacles, the obedience. I see the power of faith as we look at the immensity of his person. You know, I don't have to go down with you. I'm already there. I see the infinity of who, what he can do. I see the instructions. When God tells you to do something, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. You know why a lot of people do not see a miracle in their life? Because they don't obey what God told them to do. Don't see the miracle because they don't obey. But I see finally here the proclamation of faith. I want you to notice three thoughts here. The acknowledgement, the proclamation of faith comes by acknowledging the work of faith. There are two thoughts there. Look at verse 51. I see the acknowledgement of the work of faith. Look at verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. He got there, and guess what? Said the son. You know, would you connect verse 51 to verse 50? What did Jesus say? Thy son what? Liveth. What did the servant say? Thy son what? Liveth. You know why? Because God always does what he said. Now let me tell you something, folks. Our problem is we don't give God the credit for the work that he does. We just don't give him credit for it. Every time God performs something wonderfully, we need to be sure he gives. This came sober to me when I was in California. As you know, I had to fly out there to do a funeral. Then I got there, had to fly to Michigan to do another funeral. But while I was out there, I met with a family that I love very much. And I had led mom and dad to the Lord over almost 40 years ago. And they're now he's the administrator of the Christian school out there, and wonderful family, and they have wonderful children, and their children now have children. And I was over at their house. I said, you come over and eat meal. We're going to have all the family. I said, oh, that would be great. And I was there. And I will forget what Allison walked up to me, and she said, with tears in her eyes, she said, Pastor, you remember the day I asked you to pray that God would give us children? I said, I remember that. With tears coming down, she said, I have three children because of that prayer. And then she said to me, would you pray again? I want a fourth one. And as I stood there, I said, oh God, help me, this girl was somewhat giving me credit. Are you listening? For what God did. It wasn't my prayer. It was the one I prayed to. And I have prayed daily for that person, but more than that, I pray, God, do not give, let me have any credit for those three children. You're the one to perform the miracle. And I'm afraid we humans are taking too much credit that doesn't belong to us and belongs to Him. And I've been praying, oh God, I want you to give. And I'm almost afraid of a call I get from her. She'll say, I'm going to have a child. I got to make sure she understands my prayer didn't do that. God did that. If we don't give Him the acknowledging what God has done in our lives. Thy son liveth. Notice another thought here by acknowledging. Look there in verse 52. Then inquired he, that nobleman, of them the hour which he began to amend. And they said unto him, when? Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. I thought to myself, have you think about that for a moment? He could have gotten home yesterday when the miracle took place, 20 hours. I can do 5 miles in an hour and a half. He could have made it. But I think he took his time. You know why? He said, I believe God. I'm not going to rush home and find out if God did. I know God did it. You listening to me? Listen, it's okay to wave a hanky. God's going to do it. He just sort of casually went home, took a little longer. Probably met people on the way. You know why? Because God did it. It was already done. Why am I going to rush to get home to see if God did it? I know He did it. And so the acknowledgement was not only by the son liveth, by the fact that he took all this extra time when I don't know about you and I, but you and me, but I, how many of us would have probably said, I just got to rush home to see if it really happened. Remember years ago, my first church, I had a man get saved that nobody would believe would get saved. I remember when Don Lemon got saved. And I was asking people at the church this on Saturday, we had a work day or something. I said, I want to tell you, somebody got saved. Who do you think it is? And nobody got. Then I finally said, it's Don Lemon. They said, no. Not Don Lemon. He's one of the worst guys that live in our community. I said, then why have you people been praying for him at the prayer meeting to get saved? And Don showed up at the church the next day with the biggest Bible under his arm I've ever seen. Looked like a suitcase. And when they saw the Bible, they what? Saw. That's not faith. Well, I guess he did get saved. Their Bible, his Bible's bigger than my Bible. I don't know. You know? Why don't we just trust God? Acknowledge what God has done. And secondly, not only by acknowledging the work of faith, we proclaim it when we just say, God did it. But sometimes, I even know as pastors, I've had to be careful with this. You know, the church grows, and people walk up and say, boy, you're doing a great job, the church grows. Or they'll meet you at the door, your preachers know what I'm talking about, and they'll say, boy, that's a great message. You're not careful, you're going to believe that after a while. That'll be a mistake. Because your wife will straighten you out. I don't know how many times I've said to Marilyn, what do you think of that message? She says, oh, it was all right. Well, I know what it meant. You better work harder on the next one. But I want you to know something here. Not only do I see the acknowledging of the work of faith, but adding faith to faith. Look at verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed. Connect that with verse 50. It was in verse 50 it said, and the man believed the word that Jesus spoke, and now I find he believed again. You know what he's saying here? We need to add faith to faith. Just keep adding more belief to your present belief and let your faith grow. He just added faith to faith. He added belief to belief. Isn't that great to add belief to belief? You believe something about God and God does something. You say, boy, I believe that. I believe that. That's adding faith to faith. And then the proclamation of faith is not only by acknowledging who did the work and adding your faith to your faith, but by evangelizing. Look what happened here in verse 54. Then so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and what? His whole household. He got his family saved. Got his family saved. I'm going to ask you a question today. Do you have faith that proclaims who Jesus Christ is in your life? I mean, do they see Jesus? What do they see? Faith is so desperately needed. Father, I pray as we close this morning's service, I pray today, do we have a faith that works? I pray today that you would just deal with our hearts, Lord, this morning. Father, we've got some obstacles of faith. Oh, there's some things that get in the way of faith. Unbelief will get in the way. Some of us, Father, just have not worked at our faith. I wonder why our heads are bowed. And in this message, God just really, the preacher is the Holy Ghost, and he just grabbed a hold of your heart and something in your life that you need to take care of. I don't care if you're the only one, but God did something in your heart today. He just grabbed a hold of you and said, there's something wrong in my life about my faith. I need to take care of. Would you just reverently slip that hand up and slip it back down? God spoke to me. I see a hand there. Anyone else? God dealing? There. Just see a hand there. Anyone else? Just say, God's dealing with me this morning.